under the Old Testament. We lived under a great order from and command from the Lord that praise and worship went up 24/7. The Israelites in the temple, there were set aside a whole tribe of people that were assigned to glorify and praise him all day long. We can't imagine that. But we should. Because we passed on from the Old Testament dispensation of how God dealt with his people. We're no longer there. We're no longer in the era of law where all of our worship and praise to God was written down. There were festivals and feasts and sacrifices and all kinds of physical rituals and things that you had to, the people of God had to do in order to worship God back then in that dispensation, in order for God to bless them. Can you imagine waking up in the morning, going through your regular day, and all of a sudden you slip up, say something terrible, curse, call somebody a name, get in an argument with your neighbor, and you couldn't just cry out to God and get forgiveness for that. You had to run over to the barn or to the pen, and you had to grab you a lamb or a ram or a calf. You had to take a hatchet and a knife, take that guy up before the priest. Now, you couldn't do it at home. You had to run from your house to the where they would offer sacrifices. In Samuel's day, it was a hill, up on the hill where he lived. You had to take that thing up there, give it to the priest, and confess your sins. And he had to kill that. That blood had to be spilt in order for you to be forgiven, atoned for. And it really didn't do it all the way. It just covered your sin. Really didn't take it away. So it was really still there. But God had mercy on them, and that's how they had to do it then. Can you imagine? Now, some of you, how many of you grew up with chickens and pigs and hogs? Not many, huh? Well, I remember the one traumatic experience when my mom took a chicken. It was dinner time. She went out there in the yard. She grabbed him by his neck, and she swung him like this. She laid him on the stump, and whack! And I was like, I will never be the same. I think I was 7 or 8 years old. And then she looked at me, come over here and take these feathers out of this. I can't imagine. They did this day in and day out. People of God did that every day. A lot of time, and can you imagine the Levites, who were the tribe of people who had to do that for the people, they stood there and they were chopping, spilling blood all day long. What an atrocity. What a terrible episode. But you and I don't have to do that. And I'm telling you right now, every one of you should be on your feet praising and magnifying God that you don't have to do that. That is one joy you can think about, that when you sin, and we're going to talk about this today, all you have to do is cry out to your Father. Jesus is our propitiation. He was the substitute, the advocate for our sin. Not only did he take it upon himself to all of our sin to get rid of it, it's no longer covered. It's not even remembered. It's gone forever. If you have repented this day and God has forgiven you of all your past adjudications and whatever you've done, sins, you stand here today, or you sit here today clean, whole, holy before God. Nothing he has accounted for your as far as the penalty is given to you. It's wiped away. It's no longer to your charge. You ought to give a dance, hop and skip. How powerful this change that came over when Jesus came to the earth. He wiped away the law. And some of you, I know, still want to go by that. You still want to look at the word as if it was a law. And oh, we got to do this. And we got to do that. And we must do this. When he has said to us all, I freed you. And not only did he free us from that. Now listen to this. Their relationship with him came through a priest, another person. They had to go to the priest in order to be in a relationship with God. They had to go, and when they wanted to talk to him, they got to go talk to the priest. I know some of our denominations today still believe some of that. But that's what they had to do back then. But today, you and I don't have to do that. What else happened? Not only did he wipe away our sins, take them away, but then he said, oh, come unto me, you, by yourself. You know, you don't have to be dressed up. You don't have to have a towel. You don't have to have your hair combed, makeup on. You don't have to have a shower, brush your teeth, have shoes on. You can have ragged clothes on, matter of fact. But all you need to have is a voice unto him that says, I believe in you, Father, and I've accepted you as my Savior. And you and I can come before the throne of God. God himself, who they couldn't see. They would fall dead if they saw the face of God. But today, listen to this. You and I can go right into the throne room of God. And we can not only see God the Father, we can see God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. We can stand before him whole, and he couldn't knock us down dead because we are standing in Jesus, the blood that covers and gets away all sin. He can't see anything but goodness and holiness standing before him. That's all he can see, y'all. When he sees you. Oh, you should be dancing, shouting because of the grace that has come to us. And I know that some of you are saying, oh, okay, that makes sense, okay. Why I got to shout about it? Why I got to get all huffed up about it? Well, he went to the cross, that's all he did. That's, you know, he shed his blood, that's all. Well, you ain't got to do anything, right? I don't have to do anything because he does forgive us for that. But where is your grateful heart? You old lapidated, old lethargic, pathetic thing you are. Huh? Well, you ain't grateful for what he did. Did he do anything for you at all? Okay, you say, oh my God, what's Curtis? Stop it, stop it. I see my wife back there, her eyes got big. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you that this day is a blessed day, that you have set us here to receive you, Father, in your word. I ask, Father God, that you use all that I am, use what's in me, your precious spirit. Speak to us by your Holy Ghost, Father God. You not only said that he would be in us, but Father God, you said that we would be in him. And Father God, as he is in us and I am in him, speak your word to your people. Let their hearts, Father God, rejoice because of your word. Let them see, Father, the revelation of who you are and what you've done for them this day in Jesus' name. I was praying as I do many days. Do you pray many days? Anybody? Your relationship requires it. You cannot get away from your relationship with God without speaking to him. And his heart is broken when he doesn't hear from you. He said, I've done all of this for them and they still won't come. They still won't bend their knee and ask me. I got so much in my heart to show you. I know it's, what time are we supposed to get out? You better tell me. Better get out of 11. oh my God, I got 10 minutes. I told Pastor when I was ministering this morning, and he said, you're not going to be able to get done this one service. I said, I'm going to do my best. So I need to talk to you, first of all. We already talked about that we're in a different dispensation. The church, you and I, we're how old today? Just in years. Should be a simple question. We date our years in the modern time after the death of Jesus, A.D. Today, we're in the year 2020, A.D. So the church is 2,020 years old after the death of Jesus. That's how old we are, 2,020 years. 2,020 years with the Holy Ghost, baptism in the earth. This is a dispensation. With you and I being priests and prophets before God, signs and wonders and all kinds of anointing coming from the church. Remember the inception of the church in the very beginning, how the apostles did many signs and wonders throughout all the land as the church was being grown and built up and added to. We're 2,000 years now ahead of that, into that. Now, some say, you know, use that scripture that says a thousand days is as a, what is it, a thousand days, a thousand years, or something like that. With the Lord, a day is as a thousand years. I think it's something like that. So you could say we're 2 days over. Maybe. Oh, the church is 2 days old. So when you say it like that, then there is excuse for us acting the way we act if we're only 2 days old. But if we're 2,000 years old, I think we have some issues we need to consider. And one of the things I believe I'm bringing forth this morning, I'm going to talk about condemnation. And it was something God brought to me about our body, not our body, but the church as a whole. We suffer under condemnation so much. You know, every little thing we get condemned by. You know, the word of God comes forth and it, you don't like it. Your toes are stepped on and you say, oh, the pastor condemned me. You know, he condemned me. He judged me this morning. Oh, my God. You know, I ain't going back to that church. He made me feel bad. You know, my feelings were hurt. And, you know, we can't deal with this thing called condemnation. But Jesus, your Savior, mine, he already dealt with it. We all know the scripture. Do we all know it? Romans 8. Say it out loud. Come on. Preach it like you know it. It is the word of God. And the Bible tells us that there is, when? Now, no condemnation. And some of you are like, oh, why are you going to preach on that? Because I feel bad all the time. Because, you know, I don't get up and pray in the morning. And, I think about it and I go, oh, God, I didn't pray this morning. And I feel bad that I didn't pray. And so you think then that, oh, that sickness and disease is coming on you because you've been disobedient to God. Or you think some things are happening to your children because, oh, I'm not this perfect Christian. I missed church today. Oh, my goodness. Lord, I didn't read my word. Oh, my goodness. Oh, and you just feel so, like, let down. You are letting yourself down. You're saying, oh, you know, you say, Gloria, you're better than this. You know, you say, Samuel, you're better than this. You talk to yourself, you know, you say, Curtis, you're better than this. You're better than this. But yet, next day rolls around, same day. Condemnation hits you, and you feel bad. I want to help you this morning. The Spirit of God wants to help you. This is a message I got from him for us this morning, and I know he wants to help you. He wants to eradicate condemnation in your life as he did on the cross. Using this scripture, it says, there is therefore now, as you sit in your seat right now, if you're feeling like there's condemnation coming towards you, or you feel bad, or you feel disapproved, the Bible says that there is now no condemnation. So what do I have to do? I have to believe Jesus. I have to believe the word. My faith tells me that my God said that I don't have to feel this way. I don't have to feel condemned just because, Oh, I missed my tithe. Oh, my God, I didn't give that money like it's supposed to. Oh, I was supposed to go talk to so-and-so sister. Oh, I was supposed to call brother so-and-so, and if I didn't. And you just down on yourself doing all kinds of stuff. And it makes you, you know, the enemy of your faith will make you feel bad. But don't you know your God is greater than anything that you and I can do? Greater. I said greater. Did you hear that? Greater. That if you had a mistake, he can make your one mistake the most glorious victory in your life. He can turn it around and cause that thing to prosper you if you trust and believe in him. So you wonder how I get up here and do praise and worship Sunday after Sunday, where you kind of just look at me like, well, okay, here we go again. Curtis is going to get excited. Yes, I am. But I've been excited all through the week, so you because Jesus has done something wonderful for us that I have recognized and realized that if I do trip up and fall and make a mistake, I go to my Father, ask him for forgiveness. The Bible tells me that if he hears me, that he will grant me the petition of my heart and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Think about it. I know I got your wheels turning. Come on. There is therefore now no condemnation. Now, I want to describe condemnation in a couple of ways. You know, Webster tells us that condemnation is, I'm going to read it here, it's an expression of very strong disapproval. The action of condemning someone or to a punishment or a sentencing is what condemnation is. So you feel condemned. The Bible tells us there's no condemnation. But what are you're just feeling down about what you've done. Oh, he's disapproving of me. That's what you feel. Or you may be disapproving of yourself. You may, oh, I'm such a sorry person. I'm sorry. Can't do nothing right. What's up? But you did one thing right. You accepted the sacrifice of Jesus and his blood, right? Which means that why am I feeling down? Why am I feeling condemnation? Why am I feeling that way when there is no condemnation? Check out what the scripture says. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, that means you've accepted him as your Lord and Savior, who walk not after the flesh. Now, I know some of you like, I'm not carnal, I'm not flesh. What you talking about? I got saved. I'm saved, man. I don't be doing that carnal stuff. What's wrong with you? I'm a Christian. But he tells me here, if you're feeling condemnation, then you're walking after the flesh. You are adhering to and listening to and trusting in your flesh. Because you're saying, I believe that what I'm feeling. And it's condemnation. But the Bible tells us Jesus, God himself, in your face says there is no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. There's none. Zero. None. So why am I feeling bad? Well, because your flesh makes it. Now, my wife tells me this all the time, because I just want to go live with Jesus, go live with him, get out of this flesh, let's get in the spirit. I say it all the time. God reminded me something, that if you get out of that flesh, you're dead. You're physically dead. So we don't want to actually get rid of our flesh. It's going to be with us until we are dead, but we want to what? We want to live our life in adherence to, relying on, trusting in the Spirit of God and not the flesh. That means that you and I, and Jesus said it boldly in John chapter 6, that you and I need to deny ourselves for him. Hardest thing that you will ever do. Now, let's ask this question. How many of you want to go back to the Old Testament times? Still don't want to go back? I don't know. Because if you ever try to deny yourself things that God has already blessed you, he said you could have this, blah, blah, blah. But yet, you want to keep adhering to what you know because you can see it. Oh, I feel my feelings. I feel the hurt. Oh, I feel it. It's down in there in my soul. I got the feeling. That feeling hurts. It's more real to you than the Word of God. That's the issue here. You've let it become more real. But the Bible says, if I repent, and I remember long ago, I was at this crossroads, and I was just feeling bad, and I was just yearning and calling out to God, God, what is wrong? I can't do this. Why can't I do this right? What is it? Why do I feel so bad? Because I've been disobedient to you. What? When I was crying out, trying to get rid of the feeling, trying to get rid of it, this voice came from heaven to my spirit, and he said this: if you do not believe and trust in me that I've forgiven you and wiped your sins away and cleansed you from all unrighteousness, then you are calling me a liar. We're calling God, oh God, you lied to me, because he said that he takes and wipes it away. The feeling went away drastically. And a big old smile came on my face because he was telling me something, y'all. He was telling us something. Shift what you believe on him and not on what you in yourself believe. In Proverbs chapter 3, it tells us to trust in the Lord with all our heart. And then to lean not on our own understanding. See, if you continue to live and step by and rely on your own understanding when it comes to the things of God, then you will miss what's good and right and righteous for you. And you'll live, you'll suffer. This life and this earth, you will suffer those painful condemnation episodes, and things will occur in your life, and you will go, oh, over and over and over and over again until you die. God will receive you. You will go to heaven. Yes, eternal life is yours. But while you're here, you will suffer this condemnation if you don't begin to start trusting in him. Now, I'm talking about condemnation, and I can feel you guys are saying, oh, he's condemning me. He's judging me. He's telling me. I'm telling the Word of God. The Word of God is saying this. I want to lift you out of this episode, this conversation that you have with yourself concerning I'm disapproved. God doesn't like me. I can't do any better. So I'm just going to live like this. I'm not going to praise God because I'm not worthy to praise him because he's done stuff for me, but I just can't feel like he's done nothing. Those are all things that are disapprovals that come from the enemy of your faith who are trying to keep you out of the victory that's in Jesus. Now, you say, why are we talking about condemnation? Why are we talking about this? And why do we as a church need to move past this? Why do we need to do that? Can anybody think of any reason why we should move on? Several weeks ago, did I minister on Growing in Grace? I think it was Growing in Grace. It might have been something else. But I have a message called Growing in Grace, where we talk about the stages of spiritual life. Babes in Christ, moving on to children of God, moving on to young men and women of God, moving on to sons and daughters of God, moving on to elders. All right? There's a spiritual growth that God has lined out in the Bible. It's in there. And all you have to do is perceive it. He don't want us to just stay babes in Christ. He wants us to grow. He wants us to move on, transition into the next level. But if we're still struggling with condemnation, guess where we are? We're back to 2 days old, church, 2 days old. We're struggling with our flesh. And you know what I said? Why are you going to talk about my flesh? Why? You know we can't. You know it's always going to be. Why you want to bring it up? Why you talk about something else to make me feel good? Well, I've been trying to do what the Lord wants me to do, in this place. And I believe you are ready to receive that because he said you're ready. So this is why we're here. We're ready to move on to the next level, to the next stage. You said, well, why do I have to understand it? Why do I? Well, you don't. Jesus has freed us. You don't do nothing. You just sit there and look at me like, Curtis, I don't know what you're talking about. You know, go on out of here and live your life the way ever you want to do. But those of us who are perceiving that God has something greater for us, he's got something more for the church to do. And we want to get to it. We don't want to mess around any longer. We want to just step on out on our faith in him and begin to trust him for all manner of whatever he desires to do. We're ready to get on. Get on. Let's get on with it. Let's get on with the revelation that he gives us in the Word of God that the earth is groaning and moaning and churning around for the manifestation of the sons of God. Now, to me, a son of God is full. I think I told you one time I have a message about the anointing because, you know, Christ is not Jesus' last name. Jesus is Jesus the Christ is the formal saying, but it's Jesus, and Christ means the anointed. And we were called, what were we called? In Antioch, in the book of Acts, we were called Christians. First part of that is Christians. So it makes us the anointed of God. How many in here of you feel like the anointed? I saw some weak waves. Maybe I'm anointed. Because the definition of that anointed means, if you read the Acts, that there are signs and wonders following them who preach the word of God. Anybody got any signs they want to talk about? About the anointing, the healing power of God coming forth from your hands. Come on, you anointed saints. So don't we want to move on? I am fed up. I am. With him telling me time after time what and who I am and not have any manifestation of what that is. Aren't you fed up with that? Aren't you through it? You're not through with it yet? You're going to laugh at this. When I got this message, and I told God, I said, I don't want to preach that here. I said, because they're going to look at me like, well, not with us. Why don't you go down to so church? Preach it over there with them. They're ready now. So we are ready to accept this. Because no matter how, and I'm going to talk about your age right now, old or up, you think you are gray-haired and all that, no hair. Doesn't matter to God. Remember, he is Ancient of Days. He can do anything. And, you know, when I say that, I think some of you missed the point. He can do anything. A-N-Y-T-H-I-N apostrophe. No, anything. He can do anything. Anything. We know the scripture. Come on, let's say it. All things are possible. All things are possible to God, to those who believe, right? All things are possible. All we have to do is believe. All things are possible. We're right there. But yet, we're not seeking after that. We're seeking after something else. We're seeking after, why does Brother Curtis like to worship God like that? Why don't he turn that music down? What does he want to do that for? Why do he want to go pray for? What do he want to do? This is what we're focused on. Why is Sister So-and-so sitting over there? Where is Brother So-and-so doing that? We don't want to focus on the thing that's going to bring the anointing into the world, the thing that God has promised us that he would do to cause the world to be turned upside down. We want to feel condemned. We want to walk in our flesh. We want to say, I feel all right because I'm fleshly and it's okay. And it is, but it's not the word of God. It is not according to the one who saved you and delivered you and set you free. It's just not according to him, right? And you say, well, I need to talk about condemnation because you need to hear the word of God, right? You need to hear the word of God that does what? The thing that the Holy Spirit has come, it's the first thing that Jesus said he come to do. What did he say that the Holy Spirit, say it again? He said he will live in you, but he said he come to convict and convince the world of sin. Convict. He didn't say condemn. You know, it, to me, that's a play on words, isn't it? You go into the courtroom, and the judge lenders, I condemn you to the penalty of death. Or you go into the courtroom, and he says, you are convicted to die. So what is it? Is it a condemnation or is it conviction? Come on. I was asking God that question because they both are similar words. But the Spirit of God comes to convict us or convince us of the truth. So here's your way out. Whenever you sense that bad or disapproving feeling, that condemnation, when the word of God is coming forth, even this word that you're sensing, remember that conviction feels the same way. Conviction feels the same way. It's disapproval of the error that has occurred in your life. He's trying to convince you of your error. But because it's conviction, listen to this, joy. Come on, I know it's going to spring up in you. He always, with the conviction of the Holy Spirit, there is a way of escape out of your conviction, out of your condemnation. There is a way that he puts before you that delivers you and sets you free. All you've got to do is remember. Remember that what he said, there is now no condemnation to them that walk in Christ Jesus. The Holy Spirit comes here. Yes, I'm in my flesh and I do sin sometimes. I do forget. I do fall over. I do trip up. I do make mistakes. But I know I have an advocate, a mediator, one who sits before me and God who pleads my case. And all I have to do is go to him and say, Father, forgive me for this wrong. And he wipes it away, casts it as far as the east is from the west. And you and I can put that big old smile back on our face, even though we had just wronged, even though we may have just murdered, even though we might have just abused, even though we may have just cussed, or even though we lied, whatever we've done, thief, stealer, whatever it is, he wipes it away. And you walk whole and clean before him. Everybody needs to hear this message. This is the gospel message that he's brought to the world. Cove of Valors. I was trying to convince my wife to come up and give you 10 minutes of her revelation about the Cove of Valors, but she told me to ask God about it. And I did, and he said, don't bother her. So I'm going to give you something. How many have been praying about the COVID virus? Nobody? You've been praying. I mean, it's all around us. The thing is happening. Why is it happening? Anybody ask that question? You did it. You asked that question? You get an answer? Why is it happening? Why is the turmoil, all this turmoil happening in our time right now? You think God didn't know this? Do you think God didn't know this? Anybody believe that God didn't know this? Great, nobody. He knows everything. So what is it doing to the focus of his church, which is who he mainly has to do with? What is it doing to your focus? Where do you think your focus should be? I hear somebody say something. What'd you say? Press in. Because that's a pressure. That virus coming out, all that stuff that's going on, it's strange. Everybody don't like it. Make you feel uncomfortable, blah, blah, blah. Remember the word that came forth a few weeks ago about what God calling out for? Where are my essential people, my essential personnel? Who's in charge? Who's in charge? God's in charge. On the cross, Jesus, he said something that you and I should remember. He said it was finished. God is finished. Who'd he leave in charge? He left you and I. We are full of who? The third person of the Trinity, Holy Spirit of God, who is in connection with him in heaven right now. We are the church. We are. We're the ones in authority. Who's in authority? The church is in authority. What are we doing? Are we sitting here singing the praises of our president or our governor or our congressman, trying to get them to do things when God has said, you do it? Where is your sense of obligation unto him? Faith and trust to our God, who can do anything. He says, I'm sitting back on the throne. Jesus is by my side. I sent out to you the Spirit of God, and you don't even want to live in the anointing. You don't even want to take it out and present it before the world. Some of you are afraid to speak in tongues. The filling of the Holy Spirit, the evidence that he's giving you, the joy that he's giving you, you're letting it go by the side because you are afraid somebody's going to think you're crazy. Well, let me tell you, you are crazy. Anybody go around here talking about, oh, I've got the Spirit. What's what? You got what? You believe in what? Who? You can't even see God. You're going to go pray? You're going to talk to what? What? You are already labeled. They already know that something's wrong with you. Why not just give them something else to believe and talk about? Because we know what we have and whom we have to do with. We know it. We know that when we begin to pray, fall on our knees as those who are called out ones to him, who are set aside for his purpose. When we begin to say, oh, Father, we repent. Uh-oh. We repent. So here's the regime of the Old Testament. Remember the Israelites, they would always get in trouble, right, and had to call out to God. Anybody know the reason? The number one reason they were always getting in trouble. Anybody? Read through the whole Testament, and you'll see this thread going through. They would forget their God, and they want to worship other gods. Sex gods among the one top. Remember the Ashtoreth? Deaf God. They want to kill children. They want to murder anything. They just thought the heathens were just so wonderful. Let's go have another idol. And God said, you left me. Remember his claim every time was, I said, if you were my people pray, I would heal your land. I want you to come back to me, serve me only. Me alone. And they couldn't do it. They do it for a while. Then God will raise up a man, say like David or Samuel, and they do all these wonderful things and help the people to focus on God. But then, there they go again, running after other gods. Because their flesh had no buffer. Their flesh had no mediator, nothing to restrain them, to keep them from falling after that. Remember in Samuel, this is where I'm studying, they asked Samuel, or they asked God for a king. And Samuel was like, let's kill them all. No. God said, grant them their request. Now, this is something interesting. I want you to see this. They asked for a king. God knew it wasn't going to be a good thing, but he said, give them their request. All right, church. They didn't have the Holy Ghost on the inside of them. They didn't have the power of the anointing. They didn't have a relationship with God where you could go to him right before the throne room. God, they didn't have any of that. God said, grant them this request. So guess what he does for us? He grants your request. He'll grant it more quickly or more permanently than anything, as long as you have one. So the thing is, what is our request? Come on, saints. Come on now. Come on, get into the closet. Get into your prayer with God and say, God, I want to make my request known to you. I repent. Now, our repentance is for not serving him only. It's always for that, right? But it's also for not recognizing who he came to save. Because we think, oh, he just came to save us good people right here in this church. Oh, he came to save us. We're so lovely. You know, Sister So-and-so cooks me lunch and dinner and brings over food, and we have so much great fellowship. Ah, it's so wonderful to be here amongst these so wonderful brothers and sisters. But God sent a Savior for the world. We're part of that, but everybody. Abortion abusers, abortion clinic doctors, pornographers, homosexuals, lesbians, the whole world. Who's in authority? You don't want to say that now? You don't want to say it? We are. And the only thing, he's not told you to go and try to deliver a homosexual person, talk. He ain't told you that. Our deliverance comes when we cry out to God for God to do his work in the earth. He's got people already assigned to those jobs. But we have been lack in our praying. God, send out your laborers. You don't have to go out there and protest like Black Lives Matter. You don't have to do that. You, as the church in authority, begin to exercise your purpose and authority in the earth by lifting up your voice unto God. God, heal our land. Save these people who are out thinking that they need to protest and raid and loot and destroy. Father, help us. Whatever way I need to now, I'm going to put myself out there. Whatever I need to do, if I need to confront somebody, then let it be so. But most of the time, those of us right in here in the churches across this world, all we need to do is lift up our voice and show forth our authority in him when he said, I left you in charge, pray to me, you'll get it done. When has he lacked in our faith going toward him and doing whatever we asked? He said he'd do it. Isn't that the wonderful thing? That's so wonderful. I love him. I love you. I appreciate you listening to me, and I know I'm excited. I'm just excited. Don't feel bad. Don't get upset. Don't get upset. Oh, he's yelling at me. Don't do it. That's the Spirit of God in me. He takes over, and I just do what he says. That's And I know that this message was going to be, well, I just wanted it to be what God wanted for you. And I wanted you guys to come, go out of here understanding that you, condemnation doesn't belong to you. Feeling disapproved and disappointed, that doesn't belong to you. And you don't have to do it. Seek him, get before him, and let him do the work that he has promised us that he would do. The COVID virus thing is an extra for you, because I know we've all been asking. Anything that happens in the world, I'll give you this for free. It is the church's charge to pray. That's your job. That's you and mine. That's our job. It's to go before the Father. Father, I don't know whose purpose it was. I don't know what's going on, Father. I don't know who these people are. But Father God, I thank you that you are able to move in this situation and do whatever needs to be done. I repent for not doing my part, whatever it may be. Listen. I listen to you, Lord God, for holding up, Father, whatever it is I need to hold up to you. But allow your spirit, your glory, to overshadow this earth. As our vision says, we want that the knowledge of the glory of God be manifested in the whole world. This is us, the church. We do it by praying. Now, some of us believe we do it by voting. Voting is our responsibility. No doubt, we are citizens of our community. But we do it by praying. It doesn't matter. Now, this is my opinion. It doesn't matter who gets in to be the president or who gets to be the governor or whoever it is. My charge is to pray for him because God's heart is always to save and deliver. And if they're not saved, I am praying that they be delivered. You say, well sometimes they, well, you don't know. You don't know whether they did or not. God, it's God's business, right? Whether their heart's been turned. As long as we're doing what we're supposed to be doing. And can you imagine? He says, where two or three are gathered in his name, there's he in the midst of them. Right? As two or three are touching the thing they should ask of him for, he said they should surely have it. One will put 1,000 to flight. Two will put 10,000 to flight. How many will 23, 44 of us put to flight when we begin to pray on that same edge and begin to agree, with one another about his will? I appreciate you listening and hearing this message. I feel I should wind down now. I went over, I know, a little bit. I should forgive me for that, but I know that this message needed to be ministered to. I want to be sure of this, and I want you to hear this. Don't let condemnation rule your life. Whenever condemnation comes, remember that it's just your flesh raring up. And I can deny that, and I can receive the word of God and ask for forgiveness and go on, whatever it may be. In some of my study, there was a question. Well, most of the time, we are disobedient to God. God will tell us to do something, and we are disobedient. We won't do it. We won't pray for a sister or brother, or we won't speak a word or something like that, or we won't call somebody or something. And so we feel bad because we know God spoke to us, and we didn't do it. Disobedience is just another sin. It is equal to any other sin that we can do in the Bible. They're all equal. There is no bad or worse sin, and you should understand that also. God calls them sin. Sin, sin is sin is sin is sin. We might say that one is, one is harsher or more terrible than the other, but that's just only in your flesh that you think that. Unto God, it's just sin, just disobedience and distrust in him. Get it as simple as he's got it. Begin to think as simple as he thinks. And what's going to happen to you? I'm going to prophesy to you right now. What's going to happen to you is your mind is going to explode with the evidence of God's glory and grace for you. Your path that he has assigned to you is going to come more clear. Even those of us who think our path is almost ended because our hair is gray, but it's not. We are not done until we're laid to rest in the grave. And then, of course, we go on to eternity. Hallelujah. But remember, you're not done. You say, well, dementia is overcoming me, or I'm forgetful, or whatever the case may be. Remember, trust in the Lord. He corrects and considers and heals all things. All you have to do is trust him. It says the kingdom of heaven suffer violence, and the violent take it by force. It's those of us who refuse to let our flesh be in control. We jump on all those things that cause us to not be in the place where God wants us. This is a revelation for you and I believe that there is hope in him always, in Jesus' name.